Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 16th, 2010.
Recently I've been giving some messages on the fundamental and essential doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've considered predestination, we've considered sanctification, and as kind of a part of that sanctification lesson, we briefly looked at regeneration. All of these are theological terms, doctrinal terms that point to some essential and fundamental truths of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. This morning I want us to consider another one of those essential doctrines, and as we consider it, remind us of the benefits that are ours because this doctrine is true, because God has made it true, because he's revealed it to us, we can rest assured that we have certain privileges and blessings. And the doctrine that we're going to consider this morning is the doctrine of justification. We'll take our context, our text this morning in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read the first five verses. Then we'll jump down to verse 11 as well. And as we read this, I want you to notice that there are seven results of our justification that are spelled out for us in this passage. But of course, those results are benefits that we receive from having been justified. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Jump down to verse 11, Romans 5. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. In the first four chapters of the book of Romans, if you're not familiar with the book of Romans, I think Brother Norton and his class are, you're studying Romans, aren't you? If you're not familiar with Romans, that's a good book to be familiar with as a Christian. And so study the book of Romans, and you'll find out that in the first four chapters of the book of Romans, Paul lays the groundwork for this truth of justification by faith and by faith alone. Faith in the atoning work of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Paul begins to systematically lay out the historical and scriptural evidence that points to God's revelation of his purpose to justify all of those who believe his promise of grace. And he goes step by step to show how God has gone to great length to reveal to us his plan to justify us. If we're going to understand the doctrine, we have to understand the term, justification. What does that mean? Justification is a judicial term, a legal term. And justification simply states that the believer in Jesus Christ is declared by God, who by the way is the righteous judge, to be free from the guilt and the penalty of sin, because Jesus on the cross paid the debt of that sin in full. And so it's the judge saying, you are free from condemnation before this court. You are just in the presence of God. Justification changes our standing before God, or our position, our relative position before God. Before we were justified, we stood before God as condemned. But since being justified, our standing has changed. We now have been, instead of being the enemy of the court of heaven, we are now declared to be without guilt. We are now declared to be justified. Justification is wholly the work of God. Man needs to be justified. Because of Adam's sin, we stand condemned before God. Everyone born into the human race is a sinner and condemned to be a sinner. Romans 3:23, and we'll read it here in context in a little bit, but Paul there, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The entire human race needs to be justified. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient to justify every single member of the human race. Because Jesus died to pay the debt of man, of mankind. But not every one born into the human race is justified before God. The Bible makes that clear. Paul in his teaching in Romans makes it clear. All have sinned. And not all are justified, but only those who believe. So what does it mean to believe then? If in order to be justified, we have to believe. Justification is by faith. Faith in what? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For some, this may be very basic. For others, this is exactly what you need to hear, because you may not have ever heard it in this simple, clear manner. But the scripture is simple, and it is clear. Even a child, a young person, can understand and be justified before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, the Son of God, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the justification that comes by faith is by believing, first and foremost, that you are a sinner. Brother Bruce was speaking along these similar themes in his Sunday school class, and he spoke of a friend that passed away with cancer that he ministered to. And his response to some of the questions and the exhortations to accept Jesus as Savior was, you know, I'm not that bad a guy. You know, I haven't done anything really that bad. I think I'm okay with God. That's not faith that brings justification. Because the judge, who has the first, middle, and last word in settling the case, the judge of heaven and earth says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you can argue and use your own standard and say, But according to my standard, I'm not that bad. Well, that would be fine if your destiny was going to be settled according to your standard. But since it's not, don't you think you need to look at the judge's standard? And the judge says, you're condemned. You're born into a race of men that have rejected God. And that go further and further from me, who boast in themselves rather than boasting in my grace. So the first thing that believing that results in justification is to believe what God says about you. I'm a sinner. There's nothing in me that God can use. There's nothing in me that pleases God. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Then the second stage of faith is this. Jesus is the Son of God. God sent his own Son to die for my sin, to take my place, to stand as one, as we read in Corinthians, he who knew no sin because he was God. He is God. He who knew no sin became sin. Our sin was imputed on him. And the wrath of God for my sin, and you must make it personal. The wrath of God for my sin fell on Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why he died. Jesus was not just another man. His death was not just another death. It was the atonement for your sin. And faith says, and this is a heart matter, it's not a matter of mental consent. Well, yeah, I think that's maybe true. No, it is this utter conviction. I am lost and hopelessly lost in sin. But Jesus came to save me, to pay the debt of my sin. That debt was fully paid because God didn't excuse my sin. He didn't close his eyes and say, well, that's okay. I love him. He poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ because of me, because of you. That's the faith that brings justification. As proof that the debt was fully paid, God raised his son from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why these aspects of the life of Christ are so important for us to proclaim and to believe. Much of Christendom today will not talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ because the world mocks at it. Oh, yeah, right, he rose from the dead. Well, maybe we better not talk about that because it's embarrassing when people laugh at us. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're still in your sin. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're not justified. But because we know that he did, from the historical evidence, from the eyewitnesses, and from the very witness of the Holy Spirit with our spirit, we know Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, I can also know I am justified on the merit of that sacrifice. The judge says there's no outstanding offense by those who believe in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful statement. We sang the song, A Happy Day. That's why it's so happy. Because you stand and you realize you are no longer condemned before the judge of heaven and earth. He himself declares you are just. And when Jesus died, he didn't just die for your sins that you committed until the moment you were saved. Jesus died to pay the debt of every sin you will ever commit in your life, both before and after salvation. He didn't have to die again. Once you get saved and then you mess up, oh well, he's got to go back to the cross and die for this one. The debt, the penalty of your sin was forever paid, fully paid on the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is why the judge says, you're just. Because the crime, the debt was paid. Now don't misunderstand that declaration of justification, of righteousness. Having been declared to be just doesn't mean that you automatically always do the right thing. Any more than as we studied sanctification, just because God declares you holy doesn't mean that you always live a life of holiness. The same is true with justification. Justification is something God does for you, not necessarily to you or in you, but God does for you. He declares you are just. You receive that justification by faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Your debt to the court is paid, and now you will no longer stand before God as a condemned person before a judge. Now, this is where all of these doctrines dovetail together. This is where regeneration comes in place, to be born again. Now, instead of being a condemned person in the court, now you are a child before God, who is your Father. Now, your offenses, your sin, your failure after you become a believer in Jesus Christ, after you've been justified by faith, God still sees your sin. Don't make the mistake that, well, God doesn't see my sin. Oh, he still sees your sin, but now he deals with you as his Father, as your Father. And he will deal with sin. But as far as you're standing before the judge, you are eternally justified. Romans chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. There it is again, and it's stated in a different way. But all the world, Jew and Gentile, every human being born into the human race, stands guilty before the judge of heaven and earth. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, you realize what's being referred to as the law here, hopefully. If you don't, it's a reference to the Ten Commandments. Most people are familiar with those. And all the other laws that were given to Moses to give to the people of Israel for their time in the land of Canaan. This law was given to them for a time and for a purpose. And one of the main purposes for the giving of the law was that people would understand what sin was. The Ten Commandments are not given so you won't sin. The Ten Commandments are not given so you would have the ability to overcome sin. The Ten Commandments were given to put a straight ruler beside so you can see what sin is. And this is why we see how often man falls short of that standard. That's why the law was given. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law of Moses and all of those things were types and shadows, and they were pointing. There's coming one that will deliver you from sin. And all of these ceremonies and rituals that God gave to Israel serve a purpose, not only to reveal how sinful we are, but to reveal as well somebody's coming that will take care of this sin question once and for all. The law and the prophet pointed to Jesus. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who do what? Believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Lord willing, we'll eventually get to the doctrine of redemption, but all of these dovetail together. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. His sacrifice appeased the wrath of God because it paid the debt. Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, not yours, but God's. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. He didn't strike everybody dead that sinned up until that point. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We can't skip over this part. God is love. And this is what, and I think Bruce mentioned it in the thinking of some that he deals with. Well, because God's a loving God, he's not going to send anybody to hell. God is a God of love. God is love. He is merciful. That's why he sent his son. He didn't have to do that. But because he's a loving God, a merciful God, a compassionate God, he sent his son to pay the debt of my sin. That's his love. That's his compassion. That's his mercy. But God is also just, and his love and his justice never contradict each other. And if God, simply because he loved me, just overlooked my sin, that would contradict his righteousness. God never contradicts himself. He is just and he is the justifier. Because in his love and his mercy, he sent the sacrifice to pay the debt that I owed. That is why he is just and the justifier of those who believe. Where is boasting then? Verse 27. It's excluded. Oh, but you know, I'm not that bad of a person. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I, I give to charity, I do this, I do that. No, where is the boasting? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This is why it matters what you believe as an individual. This is why it matters what this assembly teaches. This is why we put so much emphasis on doctrine and these essential truths, these fundamental truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These simple truths have been corrupted over the years. And within what is known as Christendom, under the banner of Christ, under the banner of the church, many things are being taught that contradict the simple teaching of Scripture. And that is, we are justified by faith and faith alone in the merit of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. To conclude that a person can stand before God on any other merit other than faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, one day you will be found to be a liar. Because the judge is not going to be impressed with all of the logical, rational arguments that men present today. The judge will not be persuaded. He's going to say, "You're wrong. I went to a lot of trouble to tell you what the standard of the court was. It is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. His righteousness, the righteousness that I provided for you through Jesus Christ. But if you try to come to God and be accepted in His presence through the righteousness that you offer, well, this is the right things that I did. The judge is going to say, "I'm sorry, you're still condemned. You're not justified in my sight. The guilt of your sin must now fall, the wrath of this court must now fall on you because you have refused the gift of my righteousness." That's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? This is why this doctrine is so essential. This is why we must be faithful to proclaim these truths in their simplicity, because it is in their simplicity that they have power to save. To say that one religion is as good as another and one doctrine is as true as another is to defy the judge of heaven and earth and to say, "I don't accept your ruling." He says you're justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. None of these other things will save you. Galatians 2, verse 20. If you've ever had a debt that you were legally accountable for, and if you've ever had that debt pardoned, then you know, you have an inkling of the weight that is lifted off of you when you receive that pardon, and that now there's no legal obligation here because it's been paid. How much greater the joy and the peace to know that I stand before the Almighty God justified. I'm not an enemy of God, and God is not my enemy. But that justification, that pardon of my sin, came because Jesus paid the debt for me. Galatians 2:20 says this, "I have been crucified with Christ." In other words, His death was my death. He died in my place. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now His life has been, and His righteousness have been imputed to me." They've been placed to me, that God sees me in Christ. He sees me in His righteousness. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." But notice what verse 21 says. "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, through good deeds, through religious ceremony, through religious works, then Christ died in vain. People don't realize, religions don't realize what they're saying when they say, you know, I can make myself presentable to God. What they are saying is Jesus didn't need to die for me. Paul says, I'm not going to make that blasphemous statement. I'm justified by faith alone. Now return back to Romans 5. We won't have time to look at all seven of these. We'll see how far we go. But I want us to notice these seven blessings that are stated here for us because we have been justified. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He declares you to be just, to be righteous before the righteous judge. And that's an eternal standing. It's not a standing that now you're going to lose, because remember, He paid the debt for all of your sin, not just the sins you committed before you were saved. Your Father still sees your sin when you sin. Some people think, well, I'm righteous, I'm judged. God sees me in Christ, He doesn't see my sin. Oh, yes, He does. He's your Father and He's not blind. But you know what your Father says about those sins? Well, as far as the judicial punishment for those sins, it's already been paid. So I'm glad He sees my sin because He also sees the penalty's already been paid. It's already taken care of. This is not a judicial matter. But son, I'll deal with your disobedience because I love you. We dealt a little bit with sanctification, the practical sanctification. But back in Romans 5, we won't read it again, but as you scan over there, I want you to notice seven things. Number one, because you have been justified, if you've put your faith in Jesus, you have peace with God. It's a direct result of the declaration of God, you're just in His presence, you're righteous. You have peace with God. Secondly, you have access, which the word means an entrance, an introduction into grace, favor. So you automatically, being justified, have a standing in grace. Third, you hope in glory. You have the certain expectation of not the wrath of God, but the glory of God. And you have that expectation because you are already justified. Fourth, something that pertains to this life, but it's a blessing that results from justification. You glory in tribulation. You boast in it. We're going to have to look at that one a little bit, aren't we? Because I'm justified, I can boast in tribulation. How does that happen? Well, we'll see. Maybe not today, but... Five, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Because I'm justified, I am assured of the unconditional commitment of God for my well-being. Number six, the Holy Spirit has been given us. Because I'm justified, I've been given the ministry of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And then when we jump down to verse 11, the seventh one, joy in God. And again, it means to boast. We boast in God. Instead of fearing God, instead of cursing God, we boast in God. Why? Because He saved me by His grace. We worship Him. Let's look at the first one. I think we can deal with that this morning at least. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have right now, present tense, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have nothing that is laid at our charge in the court of heaven, we are not the enemies of the court. God sees nothing offensive in us as He sees us in Christ. Now remember, I'm talking about the guilt and the penalty of sin. He does see your sin, but he, as a child of God, that was paid for already. Now I'll deal with your disobedience, but we'll not go on back to court. 1 Corinthians 11. Just so you understand that the sin of a believer, and by the way, believers, true born-again people that are justified eternally before God, they do sin. And there are consequences for that sin. But here in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32, God makes a clear distinction between the sins of those who are justified and the sins of those who are condemned. And remember how we distinguish between a condemned person and a justified person? A justified person is one who believes in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. A condemned person is one who remains condemned because they reject the gift of the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11, 31, for if we would judge ourselves, writing to Christians, Paul is writing to believers, he says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, see, God the Father does judge his children. But when we are judged, we are chastened, disciplined by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. You see the difference there? Judgment is taking place for both, for the sin of both the justified and the condemned. But they're in two different realms. One is still in the court of heaven and earth. And the other is in the family of God. A believer in Jesus never has to fear the wrath of God. Some of you have dealt from time to time with, and maybe this was your early experience, maybe there are here those here this morning that this is still your experience. So many Christians live their whole life terrified that God one day will ultimately cast them in the lake of fire because they just didn't measure up like they thought they should. They live their whole life in bondage to rules and regulations, trying to somehow appease the wrath of God, to try to build up more good works than bad works. And maybe if God does the math, then maybe I'll be all right. What a horrible life to live. How contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. In the old Western movies, you ever hear someone say, make your peace with your maker, because they're about to shoot you. Make your peace with your maker. I'm glad I don't have to. He already made it. 2 Corinthians 5. My peace with God is the result of my having been justified. That's what this passage says. I am not God's enemy and he is not mine because I have been declared righteous by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 18 and 19. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. That's another doctrine you can consider, but it's the same thought of having peace. Reconciliation, to reconcile one party with another. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us. Notice we didn't reconcile ourselves to God, but God reconciled us to himself. How did he do that? Through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is now our responsibility to proclaim this gospel. Peace with God, having been justified by faith. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word reconciliation in this passage in the Greek, it actually means to change thoroughly. And that's an interesting understanding of reconciliation, because the thought is this: God has made all of the necessary changes through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice to take away the enmity that was between me and God. He thoroughly changed the situation because he thoroughly changed my standing. And that was all accomplished through Jesus Christ. Nothing I did. My part of salvation is to believe, to accept what God did for me on the cross of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. I have peace with God. I'm glad that I have heard this doctrine all of my life. I was raised in a church that taught the message of the grace of God. What a privilege that I've had. Not everyone's had that privilege. And you don't need to apologize for that. It's not something that you should be ashamed of. But I'm glad for the families that are raising their children now, because you're giving them a privilege that so many people didn't have. But I can't remember any time in my life where I have feared that God one day just gonna get me. I can't remember a day like that. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've had some pretty strong convictions about doing stuff wrong. But that conviction comes because I realize the one, I love God because he first loved me. And I realize that what I did hurt the one who loves me. It's not that my sin is stirred up someone who's going to get me now. But it's my sin has hurt the one that loved me enough to sin. And that's a pretty strong conviction. And that's the kind of conviction that leads to repentance and restoration and returning to righteousness. But there are so many that live constant fear. You know, today God may get me. He's going to be mad, and he's just going to do things to me, both in this life and eternity. Saints, I have peace with God, having been justified. And since my justification, my standing as righteous before God is eternal, guess what about my peace? I will never be the enemy of God. He will never be my enemy. Ephesians 2:14. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:14. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh, that is by his sacrifice, the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man, that is the body of Christ, the church, from the two, from the Jews and the Gentiles, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both. Not only is there peace between Jew and Gentile through the sacrifice of Christ, but both are reconciled to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that's you, that's me, and to those who were near, that's the Jewish race. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Don't spend your life trying to make peace or even keep peace with God. Rest in the peace that Christ made, that he is, that he provided for you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God is for you. He's not against you. What a wonderful, wonderful rest. Wanda will have a song in closing. We'll look at these other benefits at another opportunity. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God.